Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day 74. And the Bible verse is from Psalm 63, it's verse 1, and it reads, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That first verse says, you are my God. I want to remember to take ownership. And I can take ownership because God has forgiven me of my sin. And I believe that. And I stand on that belief. And so I earnestly seek God. I don't want to have a light touch in my pursuing of the Lord. This is what the topic is today, about pursuing Jesus. I want to realize that, again, no one loves me like he loves me. And I want to give him my best. I want to give him first priority. He's the first place in my life. And it says that my soul thirsts for you. I used to have this longing in my heart, a real longing. And it was sad sometimes because I would just kill myself almost. I mean, do stuff, really work hard on something. And I realized, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Jesus loved me, and I wanted to live for him and not for the approval of man. And I find that I can keep in touch with that desire to do that by prayer. Praying early and often. When I skimp on prayer, then I lose touch in what God wants for me on a given day. This is why I speak a lot. You hear me say, stop and drop and pray. And this is why you hear me sometimes, to set a timer. Sometimes when I have a day where I am forgetting to stop and drop and pray, to set a timer to be as a reminder to me that this is very important, that I do that. I can move away from what God's will is for me, which I don't want to do. I don't want to get to that point where I am so thirsty that I just want to quench that thirst any way that I can quench it. And it used to be that was how a binge started with me. That was how I lost sight of my goal for the day when I did that. And I don't want to do that today. And it says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. And then it ends that 63:1 says, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. People long to know the Lord. They do. And it's almost like they're in a desert place. They are grabbing at straws, trying to find relief when God wants to give healing. And in that healing, we definitely eventually are relieved from those things that were wearing us down. But we are learning to turn to the Lord and to look to him for all of our needs. I went back and looked at that psalm. It only has 11 verses, and we focus on verse 1. But other verses are very significant too. These are verses 2 through 6. It says, "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." You know, I have learned that when I'm in the Word and listening to the Word and listening to other people speak about the Word, then pursuing God becomes a very natural thing. It comes. It just comes. And I find myself thinking even more. In a way, it works like I find drinking water. Sometimes I wrestle with drinking water. Yet, when I drink more water, I drink more water. It's almost like once I get past that barrier of resisting doing what I need to do, it becomes a delight. I have a thirst for it. It's the same thing that is true about the Lord, because He has a steadfast love that is better than life for me. Verse 7 says, "You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." When I realize that I am protected, and when I realize that God has been there for me, even when I was not there for God, it makes me sing. It makes me sing for joy, not only, you know, with my voice, but my life. My life sings for joy, but sometimes it is with my voice. I was, I don't know what it was that was going on, but I think I had been listening to sermons and going about my day, and I was just singing. It made me sing because it helped me to remember who I am in Christ. When I remember who I am in Christ, I'm telling you, that is a thing to sing about, that God let me know the truth, that there is eternal life, and there's only one way to get it, and that is through Jesus. It tells that in John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I must have my sins forgiven. And there's only one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is my sin bearer. So if you're in the sound of my voice, whether you're on this meeting or whether later you are listening to a recording of this meeting, hear my heart. Hear my heart. In this ministry of Bible for Food, we are Christ-centered, meaning that we are centered in this truth that the Messiah Jesus has given us new life. And when we realize the ramifications of that, we throw off those things that hinder us. We choose to be abstinent today. We don't play around with our abstinence, because we know that it is a gift. We don't do things that would cause us to fall into amnesia. You know, falling into amnesia can come when we don't come to meetings. We're not going to be around with meetings. We're not making outreach calls to people. We're not talking to people who are walking in abstinence. We're talking to people who are causing us to doubt whether we should be abstinent or not. I don't have to go through that anymore. As I said in the introduction, I'm a person who got smashed up, beaten up, stomped over by the food. And I remember that today. I'm not doing that today. I'm also a person who has a, I'm a grandmother. You know what that? I'm a grandmother, and I'm also a sponsor. And I'm also, I have shepherdies, and I care about them. I'm a deacon at a church. I'm very careful about my influence on people. I really do. And not only that, I live, please, in a country where drugs and alcohol and sex and all of that is going, you know, to the dogs. And all of those things are the same thing as the food is for me. They're all besetting sins. And I cannot sit and have my hands on my hips and talk about somebody who's drinking and drugging and whatever else, and I would be eating. I'm lying to myself. So I want to say that to anybody in the sound of my voice. You want to help the drug problem? You want to help the drinking problem? Somebody who's out of control of sex and all of that? Look at the besetting sin of food. Have a starting place. Because the truth of the matter, some of us have those issues too. But have a starting place. Don't be all over the map. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do whatever. No, get a starting place. And I invite you to start with the food, because for most of us, it's that basic one that we fell in to begin with the food, is that we were out there eating when we were young kids. And if you don't remember, as somebody who knew you were young, what you were doing and how you had a lust for the food. You know, we were in Matthew today, and they talked about lusting. We lusted after food. Those of us who know what it's like to get to that point, we don't want to do that anymore. And then the last part of that psalm says, "My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." You know, it is a lie that would tell me to go back into the food. It is a lie that would tell me not to take care of my food and not to take care of my abstinence. One thing that I did learn that I take from secular recovery is that pray, plan, and protect. I pray. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I will never go back into the food again. And I definitely plan, and I use the protection of the Holy Spirit to help me in my thinking and in my walking about the food. No, I'm not laughing about the food today. I do not take it lightly. I have been a person who has been smashed around. And not only that, like I said, I have grandchildren and children that could be influenced by my besetting sin at the very early age. You know, you may not have them in your family, but some of you might have children that are chubby, and they are, you know, they binge and they lust after food. And it will continue unless they have a different way to look at it. I want to be that different way of them seeing. I do not want to be an example of someone who cannot believe what has happened to them. The Spirit of the Lord lives in me. And I'm going to use that Spirit today to walk tall and strong for the Lord. I wanted to talk about some practical things about the food, because we do have to be practical about the food. And I wanted to tell you, I had this weekend, I had my family took my daughter out to dinner at a very expensive and big restaurant in Washington, D.C. We live outside of Washington, D.C. And let me tell you, this is what I know about it. I knew what they had available. You know, I knew what I had been told, but I have been trained to always take backup. Backup is that if I go somewhere, I cannot be dependent on what people told me is going to be there for my food. If I am taking serious pray, plan, and protect, yeah, I'm going to pray, but I am going to plan and protect, which meant that if they had absolutely nothing that I could have it at that restaurant, that I would have the food available that I could eat. And let me give a qualifier on that, because God has strengthened me to this point too. That if I didn't have everything that I could eat, He has strengthened me to the point that I just would not eat. You know, people will lie to you and say that fellowship must include that I eat what everybody else is eating, and eat at the same time that they're eating. Let me tell you, God has shown me how to be very elegant and not eat a bite of what people are eating at the time. Has shown me that I can actually take an interest in them and not be focused on the food and overeating and stuff. But if I do want to eat with them, I also have learned this. I am not ashamed of what I need to do to take care of my food. So in the middle of that excellent, elegant restaurant with the waiters hovering over the table and over to the point of almost ad nauseum, being the servant, you know, serving you and everything, this is, you know, whatever, to still do it. It's so funny because it was a seafood restaurant. So everybody else at the table decided that they were going to have an entree of these crabs and whatever. And so they bring the entree out and they had the crabs. And I just said, it's okay, because I was not, you know, I have learned, no, I don't have entrees. I don't eat my food in entrees. I put out all the food that I'm going to eat, and I eat it, you know, at the time. But I don't mess around with that type of stuff, messing around with the food. And so they had all eaten. And I could notice that the guy noticed that I wasn't eating anything and stuff like that. So after they had the crabs, he comes around and he washes their hands. This is how elegant it is. He has a little thing and he has some, puts lemon juice all over his on their hand, and then he gives them a hot towel and they can wash their hands with the towel. And when he comes to me and he says, I know you didn't have anything to eat, but I can wash your hands anyway. I said, sure. I put my little hands out there, let him put the lemon on there, you know, and took the towel and wiped my little hands and stuff. All right, so it was time to, order the food. And so, yeah, order my food. I look at the menu for sure, because I knew what they had, because my daughter had been there before. And I knew what I was going to order. And I had also had in my mind I was going to have an order of vegetables. And usually if I go to a restaurant, I usually have to get double vegetables in order to have the amount that I can have. All right, so I look at the menu and then I see the prices. Now I wasn't even paying for the food, but I'm telling you, the prices were so outrageous. It was no way in the world was I going to do that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even do it for myself. I was going to eat my backup. I was going to eat the backup that I brought for the vegetable. That was just going to be the bottom line of what I was going to do. So When he came around, I got the entree, which was the price of it, was already out of the world. And nope, not getting any vegetables. I'm fine, you know, move around and whatever. Now, here is the thing that I have learned over the years and learned from other people. I did not know how to do this at first, but I know how to do it now. I do not make excuses to anybody unless they ask me about my cup and my scale and my tablespoon, and I have had waiters and waitresses ask me about it. Unless they ask me about it, no, I don't even say anything. I take it out of my little bag that I have. I have a little elegant bag, and I do have nice scales. I have several types of scales that I use when I go places if I want to. I have little ones, I have big ones and whatever, but I happen to have the one that I like. It is accurate, and I put my scale on my table, and I weighed out my little, my portion of the scallops that I could have. That's what I had ordered, and put the rest over for another meal. And I could see that the waiter was watching. He didn't say a word to me. He would not say a word to me. And I pushed the other thing to the side, and I brought out my vegetable. Now, I thought in my mind, because I have had this happen to me at restaurants before. There have been restaurants where people have said, no, you cannot eat, you can't bring any food in. That's fine, because I have had that happen and I'm left. That's fine. I will leave. I don't have to go in a huffy left or anything, but it's fine. I will leave if that is the case, because I'm telling you this. I am about, number one, not getting into the food. It is, God has shown me how to take care of this and not make excuses for it. And it's something that people have to grow into understanding how serious this food issue is. Now, they wouldn't tell anybody who came in with a wheelchair, you know, that you can't park that here or anything like that. And so I take the same understanding of this. This is what I need to do to take care of myself. And I will do it no matter what. I'm doing that. And like I said, if people don't understand, I don't have to get nasty about it. They don't understand. It's fine. And a lot of time, you know, if I can't weigh and measure my food there, I can put it away. That's fine. I don't have to, like I said, I do not have to eat at the time. But I'm telling you, that meant, I mean, I thought about that because it was, we were a party of five. And I mean, that bill, I won't even put it on this tape what that bill was for that one meal. It was scandalous for that meal to go to. Scandalous to the point, even my husband said to me, he said, oh my goodness. He said, you know, that food was amazing. He said, but the prices there were unbelievable. I said, yeah. I said, that's what made me, when I looked at it and decided, I cannot justify, because I knew, you know, that it would be all right for me, for the people who were paying for it, for me to go ahead and order two orders of vegetable. No, I'm not doing it. I couldn't do that. I couldn't. And so this is just what I'm saying to you. Be prepared. If you want to eat out, that's fine. You can eat out with people, but be prepared. Be prepared. And don't explain to people, and don't look around and look at people's faces about it at that time. And honestly, if you are shaky about it, don't do it. You know, eat later when you get home. Drink water while you're there. Or like I said, wait until you get your sea legs. One of the things, again, and I'll stop with that, when I was in secular recovery, that I still carry on as a skill, the skill level that I have learned that, you know, in that, Is that, I really, again, I've said it before, I don't have to explain it to people, what it is that I am doing and why I am doing it. I don't have to even get huffy about it. But it is important that I remember who I am and why I'm doing this. People may not see, they may never know how I binged. They may never know about how much weight I am maintaining. They may never know the health issues that would have been exacerbated if I had not stopped eating. They may never know that, but that's okay. I know it, and I know what I need to do, and I'm grateful for that. Grateful to God. But let me pray. Father, you are more precious. You are precious to me, dear Lord. And I pray to run after you. I want to pursue you. I want to pursue you, Lord. I want to talk about you. And I talk about my abstinence only to the point of letting people know that they can do this. But abstinence is not the most important thing in my life. Jesus is. Jesus is. And because I profess that and live that, he protects me and he protects my abstinence. And I thank you, Lord, because you have done this year after year after year. I thank you, dear Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.